My name is Boston Jabiola, and I've come today with my wife, Maureen. And as you have already heard, we are from Malawi, the southern part of Africa, and we are part of Malawi Reformation Network, which is an initiative to plant new Reformed Presbyterian churches in Malawi. And we are so grateful for Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church for your support, both financially, but also more importantly, through your prayers. And it's a privilege for me and my wife to be here, and also for myself to bring God's word to you. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to come to this place to worship you and to hear you speaking to us and to have fellowship with one another. Lord, as I bring your word to your people, I pray that may you anoint me with your Holy Spirit so that I should preach your pure truth and your word. And we pray that, Lord, may you prepare the hearts of your people that this word should land on fertile hearts so that it should bear fruits to the glory of your name. In Christ Jesus we have prayed. Amen. So our passage this morning is taken from the book of Philemon. We are going to focus on verses 8 to 19, but because it's a short book, we are going to read the whole of it. Philemon, I commence the reading of God's word. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compassion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bond servant, but more than a bond servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. There's a story in Africa of a couple that lives in Rwanda, and they are Rwandese. So if you are well aware of the history of Rwanda, in 1994, they had a tragic genocide because there was a tribal hatred between the Hutus and the Tutsi tribe. And sadly, the Hutus wanted to wipe out the Tutsis. And in the end, almost 800,000 Tutsis were killed in a short period of 3 months. And these tribes, it was not like people who invaded the other tribe and came from somewhere else. There were people who were staying together. There were people who were living together. To the point that this couple, the father of the husband killed the father of the wife. And growing up, they grew with so much hatred and bitterness against one another. Because the woman lost her father due to the action of the father of the husband. But as they grew and they got introduced to Christianity, and they received the gospel, and they heard the good news of Jesus Christ, what he has done for God to forgive them, they embraced the gospel, and that softened their hearts to the point that they forgave each other and they reconciled with one another. And they fell in love and got married because of the power of the gospel. They came to understand that if God could forgive them the sin whereby they could do nothing on themselves to merit God's forgiveness, then they can also forgive others that have done tragic things to them. They came to understand the amazing story of salvation, that God has forgiven them. Therefore, they should extend forgiveness to others. And now they are married. The gospel resolved the bitterness they were harboring in their hearts. And that brings us to our message today, which is titled The Amazing Story of Salvation. And in this book we have read, this short epistle of Paul, we find Paul writing to his friend, Philemon. And Philemon was a slave owner. He owned a slave. So of course, when we come to this passage in our times, we come to wonder, how come a Christian would own a slave? But we have to understand as well that when we go into the context of these times, we will see that even people would themselves volunteer or go to someone and volunteer themselves to be owned as a slave because they are not able to take care of themselves. They would go and ask someone to have them as a slave so that they can provide for them, they can feed for them. Even if they would owe someone something that they cannot pay back, they would end up asked to be owned as a slave. And here we have this brother to Paul, who is a Christian, who owned a slave called Onesimus. And we have heard that both Onesimus and Philemon got converted from the ministry of Paul. Paul might have met Onesimus in Rome as Onesimus fled from his slave master, Philemon, and he got converted as he met him, and Paul shared the gospel to him. And the Bible here tells us that Onesimus ran away. We are not sure of what he did to Philemon, but others have speculated that Onesimus might have stolen from Philemon, and that's why he ran away. So Paul meets Onesimus in Rome, and Onesimus gets saved and becomes a dear brother and son in the faith to Paul. Then Paul writes to Philemon with the intention of reconciling Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus, who was a bad slave to his master Philemon, who ended up hurting his master Philemon and ran away. And Paul writes to reconcile them, urging Philemon to welcome Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. So this amazing story of salvation, we walk through it under 3 points. And the first one is that the amazing story of salvation restores us to usefulness in the church. And we find that from verses 8 to verse 14, which reads, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart." Verse 13. "I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord." So Paul begins by telling Philemon that although he has an apostolic authority, he will not use it to command Philemon to take Onesimus back. Because Paul was an apostle, he had that authority to command Philemon to take Onesimus back. But he decided not to use it. Why? Because always in the scripture we see that the Bible tells us that something that we do voluntarily, it's far much greater than something we do out of compassion. A free and voluntary action is more value than a compulsory one. And that's why Paul is telling Philemon that he would rather have Philemon to receive Onesimus voluntarily rather than Paul commanding Philemon. Then he goes on to say that his appeal is for Onesimus. Formerly, Onesimus was useless to Philemon. He was not useful in any way. He could not help him in any way spiritually. He was even a bad slave to Philemon. But now, Philemon should receive him because he's useful to him. It is interesting that Paul, when he says this, the name Onesimus itself, it means useful or profitable. And yet Onesimus was not useful or profitable in any way, spiritually speaking. However, since Onesimus has met Paul, and the gospel has been shared to him, and he has embraced Christ, his story has changed. He has been transformed. Onesimus has changed. The old useless Onesimus is now useful. And that's why Paul is writing to Philemon to receive Onesimus back. Because he's no longer useless. He is useful. Onesimus is useful to the extent that Paul wishes if he could stay with Onesimus longer so that he can continue serving with Paul in the advancement of the gospel, so that Paul can continue being blessed by the ministry of Onesimus. the amazing story of salvation. The old useless Onesimus has been restored to usefulness in the church. He is useful to Paul. He is also useful to Philemon. Paul describes sending Onesimus as sending his own very heart. And the root word of this word that we read here is the same root of compassion. Paul is sending Onesimus with compassion. Onesimus has been saved. He has been restored to usefulness within God's people. Brothers and sisters, here we see that salvation comes with restoration. And when we are restored, we are no longer as useless as we were before. We become useful in the kingdom of God. We become useful in the church of God. We become useful to one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are given the privilege to serve one another towards the advancement of the gospel. We can admonish one another. We can pray for others. We can comfort and encourage others because we are now useful in the kingdom of God. This is why we should never feel as if we are useless in the church. This is why we should never feel as if there's nothing we can do in God's church. We have all been given the privilege to serve in God's church. And this is why we should always explore ways on how we can exercise our spiritual gifts. We should use our gifts to serve one another. Because when the salvation of the Lord comes to us, it restores us and it makes us useful. Even if you feel like or you think like you cannot do something physical, you can pray for the leadership. You can pray for those that are sick. You can pray and encourage others within the body of Christ. No Christian should think the duty of serving is only for some. The duty of serving is for each of us as believers, although some have been called to specific offices. But we are to look for ways on how we can serve one another. That leads us to our second point, which is the amazing story of salvation restores us with a new identity. And we find that from verses 15 to 16, which reads, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bond servant, but more than a bond servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So as I said in my introduction, that the word slave, because of the context we live in now, when we read at it, many we think of it, because of the recent history. This is why the translators of the ESV, they opted for a word bond servant, not slave. But in the original manuscript, the word that is found here, it's slave. So Paul is writing to say that actually, this Onesimus, who was a slave to you, his identity has changed now. He's more than a slave. And it's interesting that the person who is writing this, Paul himself, before he got saved, he was known as the persecutor of the church. That was his identity. But now, since he has been saved, he is no longer identified as the enemy of God. His identity has also changed. He's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one he was persecuting. And Onesimus, who was a slave to Philemon, and now Paul is telling Philemon that he should receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but more than a slave. as a beloved brother in Christ. Why? Why is Paul writing to Onesimus to Philemon to receive Onesimus as a beloved brother in Christ? Because when we read in Galatians 3, verses 28 to 29, we read that, "For in Christ there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no slave or free, there's no male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." The identity of Onesimus has changed. Christ has given him a new identity. He is now a brother to Paul. He is now a brother to Philemon. He is even a brother to Christ, who is our brother as well. The amazing story of salvation has transformed the identity of Onesimus to a follower of Christ, to a disciple of Christ, to a brother, to Philemon and to Paul. The identity that Onesimus has now received is far superior than being a slave. When we are saved, we are restored to God with a new identity that is far superior than any other identity you can be labeled with. We become children of God. We become brothers and sisters to one another. And we should treat each other that way. We should love one another regardless of our previous identity. For by doing so, by loving one another, that's how the world will know that we are disciples of Christ. Our identity is no longer a slave to sin, but rather we are slaves to righteousness. This is why it's not Christian character to treat each other according to our previous stories or according to our previous histories, according to the old things that we have done. Because God says those are gone. We have been restored with a new identity. We are now new in Christ. And this is why Philemon should receive Onesimus. In our old past, we are slaves to sin. In our old past, we are known as people who love to sin. But in our new identity, we are known as people who love God and who love righteousness. And lastly, the amazing story of salvation restores us to an uncondemned life. And we find that from verses 17 to 19, which says, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self." Paul instructs Philemon that if there's anything that Onesimus owes him, he should charge it to the account of Paul. Paul repaid on behalf of Onesimus. What does this remind you of? What Paul has just said here, that he is willing and is going to pay for what Onesimus owes to Philemon, is a beautiful and amazing picture of our salvation. As Christ takes upon the penalty that we owe to pay to God upon himself, the penalty that we could not pay, Christ took it upon himself as he went to the cross, as he drank the cup of hell, the hell that you and me deserved, so that we could be reconciled with God. Jesus Christ died in our place to reconcile us back to God. Jesus endured the hell and the wrath that we deserved so that we could be forgiven. He took our case as he was condemned by the Father. As we read in John 3, verse 18, whoever believes in Christ is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Paul is saying Onesimus should not live as a person who is condemned because he owes you something. If he owes you something, charge that on myself. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Because we owed a debt we could not pay to God, he took it upon himself. And when we are saved, as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, we are saved to a life of no condemnation. God welcomes us as righteous because Christ has taken away our sin and he has given us his righteousness. Christ has been condemned on our behalf so that we can live a life without condemnation, a life without the guilt of sin, a life of grace, for the perfect righteousness of Christ has been given to us. And we cannot help it but marvel at this amazing story of salvation. That we, who were worthless sinners, who were sinners to the core, in whom there was nothing else we could contribute to our salvation except the sin that made it necessary. But still, Christ chose to die for us. Christ chose to come, live a perfect life of obedience on our behalf because we could not obey God. And he still went on to the cross and be crucified. He died and rose again to defeat the power of sin and death for our sake. This is why we should never stop to marvel at this gospel, at this amazing story of salvation. We should never get used to listening to it and think we have passed the stage of listening to the gospel. For we need this amazing story of salvation each and every day to be reminded of the truth of the gospel, that we are restored to the usefulness in the church. We are restored with a new identity. And we are restored to live an uncondemned life. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing story of salvation. That indeed, Lord, because of Christ, you have saved us to be used in your church, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, and you have restored us with a new identity that we have in Christ. And that, Lord, you have restored us to a life of no condemnation. We exalt you and glorify you and magnify you for this amazing story of salvation. In Christ Jesus we have prayed. Amen.